Good morning, everyone. My name is James, for those who don't know me, and I'm the student pastor here, and it's a pleasure and a joy for me to be with you here this morning. And I'm praying that as we have these mornings together, that the material we work through will be made clear and fresh to us. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever been asked to do something you didn't want to do? Pretty sure that's everyone here. So much so that you would do anything to avoid it. Maybe you've taken a sickie from work, faked a dental emergency, pretended to be asleep, or on a more extreme scale, flee the country. I'm sure you have your reasons. But have you ever thought a bit deeper as to why we don't want to do what we should be doing, even when we have a good reason to be doing it? Maybe it's our Australian laid-back, somewhat lazy culture. Do we just not care? She'll be right. Or is there something bigger at play? So in our text today and over the next few weeks, we will get to see the perfect example of a man who is given a job to do and chucks the ultimate sickie. And on one level, the message of Jonah is don't be like Jonah. But easily on the same level, it reflects a heart that doesn't pursue God, listen to God, or even obey God. And to call it bluntly, it really is reflecting our hearts when it comes to God and the Jonah that lives within. And this is what the book of Jonah is all about, a task given to God, from God to a man who has a heart that doesn't pursue God, listen to God, or even obey God. And as through these next few weeks, we're going to see what God does with a heart like that. So let's pray and then we'll get into it. Gracious God, help us to seek your kingdom first. Fill us with all wisdom and knowledge today and help us to hear your word clearly. And I just pray that you'd be working on our hearts, softening our hearts and helping us to learn from the book of Jonah. And we pray all these things in your son's name. Amen. So I was doing some research on Jonah and someone a lot smarter than me asked this question. He said, do you really want to hear the word of the Lord? Do you really want to hear it? And are you absolutely sure? Because what if the word of the Lord, the Bible, said something you didn't want it to say? And this is one of the questions we're going to be wrestling with today. And in this passage, God is inviting his people into conversation and even disputes concerning his way in the world. So if you have your Bibles, read with me from Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. So it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their evil has come up before me. So Jonah got up and fled to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went down into it with them to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. Now, I don't know how great your ancient geography is, probably next to zero like mine, but Tarshish sounds nothing like Nineveh. In fact, if you take a look at our map, it's pretty much in the opposite direction of where he was told to go. So literally, God is telling Jonah to do something in verse 2, and in verse 3, Jonah does the exact opposite of what God says to do. Now, I don't have children, so I can't make a joke about kids not doing what they're told. But I do have cats. I can assure you, cats do not do what they're told. In fact, they never do what they're told. They're cats. But before we throw Jonah under the bus for not doing what he's told, let's take a step back and see what Jonah's mission actually was. So Jonah was called to pronounce a message of repentance or else destruction to the city of Nineveh. Now, apart from this sounding a bit weird in itself, Nineveh was no five-star destination. In fact, Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And if you know your history and a bit about the Assyrian Empire, they are one of the most cruelest and most violent empires of ancient times. They littered cities with bodies, fire. They are well known for their torturing methods, dismembering, decapitating. Assyrians' history is as gory and blood-curdling a history as we know. And they would often cut off their enemy's legs and one arm, leaving that one arm to shake in mockery as they were dying. They forced their enemies to parade with decapitated heads of their loved ones up on poles. They pulled out tongues. They skinned alive, burnt, crushed, spat, torn, murdered, and put it all on show. Jonah didn't get any mates rates with this job. So what if God gave you a mission that you didn't want to do? So not only are you called to leave the comfort of your own home, you're called to cross the dangerous seas in a dodgy boat, walk a couple hundred k's to a terrorist state, and threaten destruction in the hopes of repentance and salvation. Now, I haven't had many dealings with ISIS. None, in fact, thankfully. But if God told me to pronounce a judgment on ISIS or Nazi Germany, yeah, I think I'd get on a boat. Actually, better yet, I'll get on a jet and go on the opposite direction. I'd be out of there. But I want you to be honest with yourself. Would you really go to this city? So this nation, this city, was the object of God's missionary outreach. Would you go? And if you're feeling overwhelmed, you're not alone. There are times when it feels like God's call on your life is challenging the very basis of who we are, and it's difficult to obey and feels impossible. But the good news is God wants to change us to transform us. But as our story unfolds, Jonah is far from transformed. So not only does he have a problem with his mission, and sympathetically, understandably so, but he has an even bigger problem with the one who's given it to him, which says something, right? This guy's a prophet, Jonah the prophet. This is his job. So in the deliberate parody of God calling the prophet Jonah to go to Nineveh, Jonah up and leaves and goes out west and finds himself in direct opposition of God and in the thickening storm. And God, he does not let him have his way. So let's look at how God deals with this dodgy but honest prophet. So verse 4, read with me. But the Lord threw a great windstorm onto the sea, and such a great storm arose on the sea, and the ship was threatening to break apart. The sailors are afraid, and each one cried out to his God. They throw the ship's cargo off to lighten the load. And meanwhile, Jonah, he had gone down to the lowest part of the vessel and had stretched out and fallen asleep into a deep sleep. The captain approached him and said, "What are you doing sound asleep? Get up! Call to your God. Maybe this God will consider us and we won't perish." Now, Jonah, probably exhausted from his struggle to decision to flee from God, is sound asleep. How? I do not know. I've been on a cruise ship before during a storm in the cabin. I could not be sleeping. Maybe he was thrown and he hit his head. Maybe his anger, grief, anxiety, and guilt are draining him so much. Or maybe following suit, Jonah is so comfortable with his decision, he is sound asleep, sleeping like a baby in the crib. But whatever the case, he's so comfortable to run away, he doesn't even notice the storm. And Jonah, he may be comfortable with his decision, but God has something to say. And here we see the direct result of Jonah's disobedience and immediate and dramatic consequences. He comes into direct confrontation with God, and this time, Jonah's running away from God is now a matter of life and death. So much so, the boat is threatening to break up. Everyone's throwing cargo off. People are crying out to their gods. The captain wakes Jonah up saying, "What are you doing? Get up, call to your God." But Jonah, he is indifferent to his life and theirs. And the sailors, they are open for calling on Jonah's God. In fact, more readily than Jonah is. They want their God to rescue them, but Jonah is abandoning his. They're calling to their God, and Jonah is running away from his. The only God who can actually save and hear our cries. The storm is going to kill them all, and they know it. And Jonah, he's given the opportunity to witness and demonstrate God's power, but he remains dead silent. So what would happen if the word of the Lord said something you didn't want it to say? So Jonah, he's lost control, and as hard as he's trying to maintain control and pursue his own desires and fleeing from God and his word, ultimately he fails. He gets it wrong, but he's still unwilling to admit it. And sometimes we can be like Jonah, unable to see past our own wills and wants. We don't want to hear the word of the Lord. We don't want to go to God. We want to go in the opposite direction of where God wants us to go. And it's hard. We don't want to give up that control. We don't want to obey God and trust that God is going to work through the difficult things in our lives. In our heart, it can be so far from God and his way in the world that we end up like Jonah, running from God, angry at his way in the world, pursuing our desires above his. And here's the thing, if you've been around long enough, who do you turn to at that moment when everything is out of control, when God calls you into chaos and running from God or doing it our own way seems like the best option? Be honest with yourself. Is God big enough to trust in during these storms? And is God big enough to trust in when he calls you to do something you didn't want to do? And to be honest, it's really hard to discern God's loving and wise purpose behind many of our trials, desires, what we're called to do and where we're called to go. And in Jonah's case, he could not see that deep within the terror of the storm and mission, God's mercy is at work to change his heart and those who he reaches. And in our mess, God's mercy is at work in your heart to change it, soften it, to be more like our Lord Jesus Christ, and to change the hearts of those who you reach. And this is what the story of Jonah does. Jonah's story brings us to understand God's grace in a new way. But Jonah, his heart is still so far from God and his way in the world, so far from letting go of control to trust in his ways, so much so Jonah is still reluctant to tell the sailors of God's mercy and grace. So verse 7, they say, "Come on, let's cast lots. Then we'll know who is to blame for this trouble we're in." So they cast lots and the lot singled out Jonah. And immediately after they cast these lots, after Jonah's divinely identified, in the thick of the storm, the sailors fire five rapid questions all at Jonah. "Tell us who is to blame. What is your business? Where are you from? What is your country? What people are you from?" But Jonah, the culprit, still silently sooking in the bottom of the ship, only after being divinely identified, finally speaks up and says in verse 9, I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heavens who made the sea and dry lands." And the men, they were seized by great fear, and they said to him, "What is this you've done?" So they said to him, "What should we do so that the sea will calm down for us?" And I love this bit. Jonas resourcefully says, "Mate, just pick me up and throw me into the sea." I don't know how great your problem-solving skills are, but if I was on a massive boat during a storm, asking to be thrown overboard would be right at the bottom of my list. Maybe after doing a rain dance, using my mouth to catch the water and listening to the Titanic song, I'll then maybe consider being thrown overboard. So why would anyone say this? Is Jonah repenting? Is he submitting to God? Or is he doing the direct opposite? Is he saying, "I would rather die than go to Nineveh," which, to be honest, is quite like Jonah to say and do? Or has he had enough? Is he ready to submit? The answer is likely somewhere in the middle. But where his concern lies is not a heart that is turning to God or a concern for God or the Ninevites, but is moved nothing higher than pity. "You're dying for me, but I should be dying for you. Pick me up and throw me into the sea so it'll calm down for you. For I know that I'm to blame for this great storm that is against you." He says nothing about God or his mission, his repentant heart or trusting God. So although Jonah is finally taking responsibility for the situation, it's not because he's trusting in God, but because he's looking at the sailors. And meanwhile, these sailors are doing the exact opposite. They're acting admirably. They're calling on their gods and asking Jonah to call on his. They're questioning him respectfully, asking him what they should do instead of killing him. Verse 13, rowing hard to get back to shore, even after Jonah had told them that he is to blame. And only at verse 14, at the very last final ditch attempt to save everyone in a pious fear of the Lord, they throw Jonah overboard and the sea stops raging and the men are seized by great fear and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord. Now, as we'll see later on in our series, Jonah's refusal of God's mission is largely because he did not want the gracious and compassionate God to show mercy and grace to undeserving people. And in the comical design of God's plan, Jonah fleeing from God causes the exact opposite of what Jonah doesn't want to do for the sailors. Shows God's grace, sacrifice, and mercy to undeserving people. And through Jonah's disobedience, incompetence, and horrible problem-solving skills, God still makes him an effective prophet as his calling, bringing people to faith in the merciful God. And the sailors' efforts in trying to save themselves by calling on their gods, by searching for salvation in all the wrong areas, God is still just as faithful, merciful, trustworthy, gracious, and salvation belongs to him. And Jonah's story, it teaches us that it's not a matter of what you do in the storms of your life, but who you trust in is what matters. But if we just take a step back for a second again, for us Christians, how many times can we be like Jonah? We know the God who can save, who is trustworthy, graceful, and merciful, who can work through any situation, and we run away from him and remain silent. And we all know people in our lives, like these sailors, that need saving and who are searching, but we run in the opposite direction. We want grace, we want mercy, forgiveness, and God's favor. But when it comes to showing it to others, to telling others, we often become like Jonah, silent. And this is why this series is called Disasters of the Heart. Too many times we become like Jonah and our heart becomes hard and we become like the runaway prophet. We know God can save and will save, as we'll see in chapter 4. But we become like Jonah, indifferent, we have a heart that runs in the opposite direction of God. We call in sick. Have you ever been asked to do something you didn't want to do? So let that be an encouragement to you to move out of your comfort zone, to tell that friend about Jesus, to be on mission, to hear God's word and obey it, and to incline your heart to pursue God, even in the thickest of storms. And for those who don't trust in Jesus yet, in our story, the sailors, it is only after realizing that there is no other way to be saved than to throw Jonah overboard that they come to know God in a very real way. And do you know that's how God pursues our hearts? There is nowhere we can run that is too far from him. There are no actions or things that we can do that are too much for God's mercy and grace. That when our hearts reflect the brokenness of this world, a heart that doesn't pursue God, listen to God, or even obey God, God's mercy is at work in your heart to renew it. And in the act of irony, in our story, it's through the throwing away of one's life that we actually find life. So as we're reading and we're going through the story of Jonah, when we look at it, Jonah's story is only a shadow of a much more epic story of humanity running from God, facing the storms of death and judgment, and God saving them through mercy, grace, and sacrifice. For in Jonah, we see the truest pattern of substitutionary love. So Jonah's sacrifice was to save the sailors, while Jesus' sacrifice was to save us. And we should not be surprised then that when Jesus came into the world, he loved us like this. As Jonah's sacrifice was merely for the sailors, so Jesus' sacrifice was for all. So as Jesus, as he comes into this picture later on, he says to the crowds in one of the Gospels, it says, "You guys seek for a sign, but no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. For as Jonah was in the fish 3 days and 3 nights, Jesus, he will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And as we go through the book of Jonah, we can start to slowly piece the parallels between Jonah's imperfect works and Jesus' perfect work. Now, as you could probably tell, Jonah was not Jesus. In fact, he was quite the opposite. So he was cast out for his own sins, while Jesus, he takes our sins. Jonah didn't love the sailors, but Jesus lovingly gives up his life for his enemies, with Jesus becoming the substitute that Jonah couldn't be, and he substitutes his life for yours. And Jonah, he is one in a long line of imperfect people pointing forward to Jesus and reflects the true sacrificial character of Jesus. Jesus, he gives up his life so you can find life. So if you don't know Jesus today, can I invite you to come to know the God who can save, the God who can not only save from the greatest storms and disasters of your life, but a God who pursues you in love even when we run. Because the greatest disasters of our hearts, it isn't the storm in life, but it's the disaster of the heart that doesn't know God or trust God. And if you do know Jesus, he gets the disaster of your heart, that we can be like Jonah. Stop running and turn to him. Incline your heart to him. Pursue him further and listen to him, even when the word of the Lord says something you didn't want it to say. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the book of Jonah. Lord, I just pray that as we go out into our week, I just pray that we wouldn't forget what your word says in the Bible. I just pray that you'd help us to incline our hearts to you, listen to your word and obey your commands. Help us to love you as you love us, and help us to trust in you as you pursue us. Lord, we just pray for everyone here, for those who don't know Jesus, our Lord. Please pursue them, soften their hearts. Lord, for those who do know you, please be working in our hearts to change it to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We just pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.